All right, good morning everybody, and welcome to our weekly show, which we do on Wednesdays, Let's Chit Chat with Narayan Dat. As you know, every Wednesday we bring special guests where we talk about social issues and anything else in between, so to speak. However, the last Wednesday of every month is a little bit special and different because we do have Kelly Dick, who comes in on the last month. And it seems like as if you were here yesterday. The time goes by so fast. But we have her on an ongoing basis, and we're going to standardize that as long as the show is on Wednesdays. If we do change the time and on days and so on, we'll kind of still work something out. But as of now, she is on our show every Wednesday, the last Wednesday, that is, of every month. So, Kelly, welcome again to our program. Let's Chit Chat with Narayan Dat.
Thank you for having me again.
All right, so let's put this a little bit up so they can hear you nice and clear. Can you just do a test there?
Test, test, test.
Let's do that again.
Test, test, test. Okay, need to sit closer? Do I need to sit closer?
You're good, you're good.
All right.
Yeah. Good.
Excellent.
I just want to make sure they can hear you. Yeah, so anyways, welcome again.
Thank you.
And so how have you been? I know it's summer now. It's officially summer. People are getting excited, all of that. So what have you been up to? Well, I have an idea, but...
What happened?
I know.
Lots of things have happened in the last month. We've had Gay Pride. We had the March down in Kitchener. We were a part of that with the Ontario Federation of Labour. I'm not sure if I mentioned that the last time that I was on. I was just in Toronto, actually, just recently this past week for some training for the Power of Many. For those people that are just joining us that don't know what the Power of Many is, the Power of Many is a campaign that we put on, that we've initiated through the Ontario Federation of Labour, to bring all of our supporters in the community, all of our community members, actually, together under one umbrella to fight the Ford government. So I was doing some training this past weekend. I know I had to get that in there. Doing some training this past weekend. I'm also planning for my son's wedding that's happening
on
July 13th. So yeah, there's been some planning that's been going on there. We had a bridal shower just this past weekend.
That's right, yeah.
And run and walk through with my hair on fire, you know, like I usually do. So
yeah. Speaking of hair, you have a different hairdo today, so.
My hair is all bad. You know what? Next time I come with my hair, I'm going to bring my hair will be straight. How about that?
Oh, yeah, why not?
You wonder who I am. You know?
Yeah, so that's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. So, I mean, as you know, and also one of the reasons why we keep bringing you back is because we want to continue the conversation with what's happening with the Ford government, what's happening, with the changes that they're making, all of that. And I think it's crucial because, you know, and we talked about this before, whatever decision politicians make, it affects all of us. You know, we might not realize and understand all the pieces right away, but it affects us in some way, shape, or form. No question about that. If not us, you know, depending, of our situation and so on, you know, it could be our neighbors, you know, our children, you know, grandchildren, to be all of that. So it is important for us to kind of continue these kinds of a conversation. And when you come in the show, I always get excited because it is always fresh, you know, it's always energetic, all of that. And so you really add a good piece to the show, and we're happy to have you because, in fact, you have gotten the highest rating, I can tell you that. And this this doesn't mean that our guests are not, they don't have things to share. It's just that it could be because we have had you so many times and people are passionate about these pieces. People might not necessarily engage the way we are, but they want to know more, they want to understand, and I think that the conversation we're having here is making a huge impact. So thank you for taking time to come here. So what's new? What's happening now, for example? I know you talk about the summer piece. I'm talking politics now, kind of thing.
Lots has happened in the world of politics. Provincially, the Ford government has decided to take a 5-month sabbatical. I'm not sure about anybody that's out there that's working. I know if I went to my employer and said, oh, by the way, I'm taking 5 months off and you're going to pay me, I'm not sure that I would have a job at the end of the 5 months. But so, you know, the cabinet itself rose on June the 6th. And as you know, we had a big event here in town on June the 7th, a big rally. And the rallies were happening all across Ontario. And that's when we learned that the Ford government and the cabinet would not be sitting again until the 28th of October. And there's a couple reasons for that. So, I mean, there's speculation happening within the news. The different news syndicates and things like that are putting some things out there. Certainly, we think that it definitely has something to do with the upcoming federal election that's happening in October. So, if you take a look at the things that have been going on in the last year with the Ford government, as I said, and I'll reiterate it again, he's been slashing and burning everything. And, you know, it's basically scorched earth now. Yeah, really. I mean, there's nothing.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. There's nothing that he hasn't touched. Mm-hmm. And there's, I mean, there's... As you alluded to, it affects everybody in the province,
right? Sure.
And no matter what age you are, you could be, you know, if you're a newborn or you're 105, somewhere along the line, it's going to affect you. These changes and these cuts are going to affect you somewhere along the line. So it was a little disturbing for the entire province to know that, you know, Doug Ford doesn't think that his cabinet ministers and his government need to be sitting in the House until the 28th of October. So I actually listened to a news broadcaster, I guess, just the other day that was saying, well, you know, they did go back really early, you know, early on last year when they first got elected. So, you know, they've been working really hard and so on and so on and so on. And yeah, they did go back very early. I mean, Doug Ford called them back literally the day after he was elected. But that is no excuse for taking 5 months off. Do you know what I mean?
For sure.
Things in the province don't just stop running because Ford government decides that they're not going to go back into the House and govern the province until the 28th of October, which is exactly what they've been elected to do, right? So, you know, go back to the Spider-Man movie, right? With great power comes great responsibility. Perhaps he needs to watch that movie and maybe get that quote, right? But this government has been very, you know, laxy-daisy about all kinds of things, you know. As I said before, they may have a majority in the House, but they certainly don't have a majority on the ground. So, and a lot of things that they're doing right now are really playing into that. And people are really standing up and noticing that these things are happening and that the changes are really starting to affect people now. So, you know, I can't say that them rising on the 6th of June and not going back to the 28th of October isn't going to hurt them. I really hope that it does.
Yes, so, you know, speaking of the decisions being, you know, that they're making are affecting people, I can see that because, I mean, things are easy these days on social media. There's always something going on. You can see how people are basically voicing their opinion, you know,
On both sides as well, right? Oh, so, yeah, sure. I mean, it's not just all about, you know, the NDP and, you know, perhaps the Liberals and the Greens and everyone else. You know, people that have voted PC,
yes.
You know, PC supporters are starting to, I shouldn't say starting because this has been going on for a little bit, but, you know, they're voicing their concerns as well. You know, it's not really my concern right now who you voted for, right? Because, I mean, it is what it is. On June the 7th, we got what we got, and we got that for a reason. So it's not my concern right now with who you voted for. What my concern is and what my question is to everybody is, this is what we've got now. What are you planning on doing about it, right? So, and what part are you planning on joining the fight, you know, to keep our services, to keep our education, to keep, you know, these programs and things that we rely on as a community, as a province? You know, what is every Ontarian planning to do moving forward, not only with, you know, climate change, but with every other thing that this government has rapid fire style cuts and, you know, and just destroying things. So, you know, like I said, we cross party lines. There are people that, you know, are PC supporters. And I say PC supporters, not Ford supporters.
Yeah.
They're PC supporters.
That's correct.
And there's a huge difference there,
big
right?
Difference.
There's a big difference there.
Push.
You know, and you may see that bleeding into the federal election. You know, I mean, Doug Ford has done some damage in the province. As I said, scorched earth, you know. It's going to take a lot for, you know, the PCs federally to distance themselves from that, and you know, Ontarians have a bad flavor in their mouth right now. So I'm not really sure, you know, what this government's going to do. But you know,
sure.
It'll be interesting. I'll be on the line fighting, absolutely.
For sure. So I mean, thank you, you know, for sharing your opinion on this. And so what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick musical break. For those of you who have just tuned in, I just lowered down the volume on the music you were hearing background. So for the first minute or two, people probably were hearing music background, and I'm not sure if they were able to hear us properly. I'm sure, you speak loudly. I'm sure they're pretty much able to hear you, but just in case, we remove that or we load that down, so you should have any problem. When we come back, and again, this is just us having our own opinion, and just kind of touch on that. You know, I want to know your opinion, really, on the shuffle that they've made, you know, there.
You know,
for sure. And, you know, and I realize that, you know, change is not necessarily a bad thing and so on, you know, but sometimes, you know, changes are made, you know, to favor certain people or certain groups and all of that, right? There's a possibility always exists. This is not the first time we're seeing shuffling of any sort of government, you know, party and so on, but this one seems to be a little unique, I think, in its own way. And so I wouldn't mind have your opinion there. And again, we are having an open conversation, and that's what this show is all about. So we are not really kind of really put any party down or anything that kind. This is what's happening, and it's important for us to have a conversation about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so on. So that's what this show is all about. So for those of you who have just tuned in, you're listening to Let's Chit Chat with Narayan Net, but our guest, Kelly's our ongoing guest, I can say, regular guest. She's on our show every Wednesday, the last Wednesday, and that is on our show. So, and we're going to keep it that way until she said to us in Narayan, you know, my life is getting extremely busy now, that let's put this on hold. And if that comes to play, good possibility we're going to do some repeat as well, too, because for people who have missed it and are not able to kind of find it and so on, so we still will have you on at least for a while, because it's summertime now, people have other obligations and all that. That's one of the reasons I check in with you, to make sure that we are on the same page.
Yep.
And when I check in with you, say yes, I'll be there, like that alone speaks volumes. So I appreciate that. So again, we're going to take a quick musical break, we're going to be right back, and then when we come back, we're going to have some opinion from Kelly regarding the changes, you know. And speaking of changes, it can be a good thing, and it can be, you know, very impactful in a negative way as well too. So I would love to hear what you have to say. So we'll be right back.
All right, we're back, and for those of you who have joined us, you're listening to Let's Chit Chat with Narayan Dad. This is a weekly show that we do. We do it on Wednesdays, and today it's a special day because it's the last Wednesday of the month where we have Kelly Dick, who comes in every Wednesday to kind of really share her passion for social issues and politics and cooking too. We'll talk about that. She's working on a book, and for those of you who have been watching us will know that she gave us a little bit of a sneak peek of ideas what she is planning to put in that book, and maybe later on we're going to ask her to give us some update as to where she's at with that. So prior to the break, I was asking you, or we were talking about the shuffle that the Ford government did very recently, moving people around and all of that. So what's your opinion on that? And for me, like I said to you, change is not necessarily a bad thing, but at the same time, when we make change, we have to make sure and look deeply to see who's who will be affected by those changes, all of those things. You know, we cannot make change for the sake of making changes, right? So what's your opinion on that?
Well, this government had to do something. I mean, they've got the lowest rating of any premier basically in the history of the province, and I mean, they've only been in power for a year. So, you know, as I said before, people are very unhappy with the cuts and the things that are happening here in the province. And, you know, when you look at the numbers, when you've got a 20% approval rating for your leader, you know, there's some issues that, obviously. Doug Ford decided to do a little bit of a cabinet shuffle. When I say a little bit, I use that term loosely. Of course, you know, two of the major files, one being education, the other one being healthcare. So Lisa McLeod and Lisa Thompson were both moved out of their positions and demoted into smaller roles.
They're still ministers, though, right?
They are, They've got much less of a profile.
Yes.
You know, the other ones that they had were very high profile.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah.
You know, invoked a lot of anger in the province. You know, a lot of discussion. Mm-hmm. And when I say discussion, again, I use that term loosely. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems it's disturbing to myself. Now I'm going to kind of speak off a little bit off the cuff here. I'm for women's rights. I'm a women's advocate. I always have been. Mm-hmm. I fight for women's rights, and I fight for, you know, pay equity and equality in the workplace. I really fight for the rights of women all across the world, not necessarily just in this community. And we're fighting for gender parity. And when I say gender parity, we're fighting for gender parity everywhere, in the workplace, in government, you know, in the police force, in the you could take any job, any situation, and you know, we should have gender parity, or we should be striving to achieve gender parity. And Doug Ford has taken three prominent women out of their roles. No matter how I feel about those three women, he's taken three prominent women out of their roles, high-profile roles, and demoted them into smaller, lesser roles than what they were doing before, and replaced those women with men. So, optics-wise, for somebody who's looking at this through this lens, I'm not particularly fond of the fact that he has done this. As far as the changes that have happened, Doug Ford made these changes and then went on the news on an interview and basically threw his ministers under the bus. Did not claim responsibility for anything that they had done, the files and the portfolios that they had put together and that they had presented to the province. The discussions, numerous discussions that had been had with the media and, protesters and things like this. And he had come out on many occasions, especially with Lisa McLeod, and absolutely denied, any thoughts or anything like that, that he was going to demote her at all from her position. As a matter of fact, in one interview, he said, I absolutely am not demoting or releasing Lisa McLeod from her post. She's a rock star, and I think she's got this. So just in that itself, and then to throw them under the bus and basically say, we didn't know anything about this, and we have rogue MPPs and whatever. Again, it plays into the scandal that's happening right now with Dean French, right? So Ford is claiming that he doesn't know anything about this. He's, in the blinds and whatever. I'm sorry to tell you that when you become a leader, a manager of a corporation or a company or, a business owner or a president or a premier, the people that you have under you are exactly that. You are their boss, their premier, their manager. Yeah. Everything that happens in this province needs to come across his desk.
Correct.
So
yeah.
For him to stick his head in the sand and basically say, oh, wasn't my fault. No, you know what? No, calling you out, Doug Ford, calling you out. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't happen that way. So it's disturbing, like I said, that three prominent women, again, doesn't matter how I feel about them, mm-hmm. Were demoted from these positions after the proverbial crap hit the fan, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, put them into lower roles and put these other men into the roles that will hopefully be able to appease some of the people that are not particularly happy. So I'm not particularly fond about it. I actually have a list of the move arounds and things like that, but it's very easy to get. You can just pick it up online. But some of them are a little bit shocking.
Keep in mind though that not everybody is as active as us, where we kind of try to read all the pieces and stay on top of it.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the reasons why we're having these kinds of conversation, to kind of summarize things and really bring it to you, particularly to people who are not interested to listen to mainstream radio and all of that, right? So we are really getting a different set of audience, because based on the feedback from people, we know that people are okay to hear, the pieces that we are seeing, share it with them. Because everybody, it's extremely hard to keep up with all of the social media pieces. You realize that, right? Because the things are constantly, because we sign up for this and that, and then constantly we have we are copied to this email, we're being sent, this and that and all of that. So it's kind of hard to stay on top of it. I have it's not easy to stay on top of everything. So whatever you share, I can assure you that people will appreciate it, because it could be that this is where they're getting that information too. In some cases, this will be the first time they're hearing of all everything that you've said. So
mm-hmm.
So this is good. So if you are at any point want to highlight some pieces, that is totally fine. So that's okay. So just so you know that. Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. But Kelly's right. We are just highlighting some of the pieces, we're sharing our opinions and so on. But if you want more information based on the shuffle and all of that, I'm signed up with the province. I received the email too. I'm sure you do.
Yes.
Right.
sometimes I have to block hours in my day just to go through.
Yes, and
social media.
You
can go through some of the changes if you want.
I think it's okay to highlight some of those major changes, because keep in mind these changes, like I said earlier, changes is not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes these changes can affect us as well too, and because we have to understand why these changes were made, how will it affect things as they're trying their best to move forward with the province, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if they're moving forward or going backward, but
I think it all depends on
mm-hmm.
where you're sitting,
mm-hmm.
right? I know that there are a lot of unions, there are a lot of organizations out there, there are a lot of community people that are involved in the community that are very concerned about the healthcare changes, and very concerned about education, and very concerned about justice and carding. That's something that's here's another subject that doesn't get a whole lot of play, but is definitely prominent in some communities, especially in Toronto. These are things that we need to deal with, and people want to have resolve with this. People really want to have their government speaking to these issues and listening to the concerns that they have.
Mm-hmm.
How are the MPPs, how is it that they're listening, they're saying that they're listening to their
mm-hmm.
constituents when they won't meet with them? They won't
mm-hmm.
come out of their offices, and they won't meet,
yeah.
and they won't do these things. They avoid phone calls and things like that. But I can tell you, if there's a community event, they'll show up. If there's a ribbon cutting for the LRT, they'll be there.
Oh yes, of course. How can they not be?
If there's an issue to talk about, as far as 15 more full-time nurses being laid off at Grand River Hospital, let's talk about that for a second,
mm-hmm.
right? That's 60 people already in the last few months that have been basically given their layoff notices, but. I don't see the MPPs talking about that. I don't see the PC MPPs, addressing that at all, or any concern that's being brought forward by any of their constituents, which is very disheartening.
Yes, you know, you brought up so many pieces here, but there are two. I want to touch on two other pieces. You know, when there's cuts, the people that suffer the most are at least the way I'm seeing it, the people that suffer the most are the frontline people, mm-hmm. like the frontline workers,
yeah.
kind of thing, right? Because assuming the budget gets cut, right, kind of thing, they will have to make some changes along the line mm-hmm. to kind of manage things. But I find that it's the frontline people, like the nurses and all of that, right? They are the ones kind of losing their job because no CEO will say, okay, well, let myself go, you know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah,
who
so
on
it's
board
like,
of directors
yeah.
say, you know, hey, I gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. So that's the piece, like I can never get over that piece because at the end of the day, it's the people who are they're working so hard, probably who need the job the most, really, you know, it really affects them. So that's one of the reasons it's important for us to have these kinds of conversations so that people get it, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, when people are casting their vote or the people who are not voting, you know, them participate, you know, can change all of that, you know, so mm-hmm. that there's a reason why we're sharing all of this. We want people to understand and know that, you know, if you didn't vote last time, you're going to have an opportunity a few years from now, something to keep in mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, we have an upcoming federal election as well, right? So,
oh, yes.
You know, we're out knocking on doors already, and it's not only just, you know, it's not only just candidates that are out knocking on doors. We're knocking on doors with the power of many. So y'all are going to see me at your door because I'm coming. You know, signing petitions and getting people and really, you know, spreading the word about what the government is doing and the cuts and how they're affecting people. So we do have a federal election that's coming up in October 22nd.
Yeah.
And I encourage, beyond anything that I could possibly ever tell anybody who listens, I encourage every single person to exercise your right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few reasons for that. You know, Sarah Singh in Brampton won her seat by 89 votes.
No.
89 votes,
oh,
right?
Wow. Yeah.
We have a city councilor who 8 years ago ran municipally who lost by one vote.
I know,
right?
So remember that one very well.
I think we need to take our big provincial lens off when we're talking about, you know, does my vote count? Because regionally, absolutely, your vote does count, right? So if you have a candidate that you really like, by all means, I encourage everybody, you know, to get out and vote, absolutely.
Yes, and speaking of, I was going to mention that at some point by the end of the show, speaking of the federal election, I think I mentioned previously, myself and Jihan in this city here, we are partnering and we will be doing a few debates.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are calling it Democracy in Action Debate. So we want to brand it differently. And so the idea behind this is we really want to get people who never really came out to these events, you know, we want different demographic, different age group, not necessarily only seniors, you know, or all of that. We want the younger people to, you know, we need the younger people.
We need to engage
oh,
the
yes,
youth. Yes,
for
absolutely.
Sure, right? So we really, I mean, we've been working extremely hard behind the scenes to put this together. It's not easy to put any kind of event together, as you know, but we are going to give it everything we got to really make it a very successful event, and we are very confident that it will be a very unique kind of event. But the idea is to really get people to be involved. So if you would like to be involved, you know, when I say involved, you don't have to you know, lose any sleep, or you don't have to kind of you know, take on too much, not that kind of way, but
contact
we,
me, you'll
yes,
lose sleep,
yes.
I promise you. I
know.
You know,
but the thing is, so the idea is the whole idea of this debate is not necessary just to give you information so you can go and cast your vote, but we want people to be more engaged on an ongoing basis type of thing. So from now on, you know, let's say you never attend one, you know, let's say you don't understand how the political system works over here, let's say you were to come and you have a better sense as to how it works, for us, you know, that's a gain for us, a gain for you too. And let's say that encourages people to kind of stay on top of things, maybe sign up like us, you know, to kind of receive, you know, information, you know, when it comes to, let's say, what's happening, you know, with provincial government or any level of government, or let's say you want to be part of any sort of organization, the kind of work you're doing, or all of that. If it really leads you up to that,
I think that's a beautiful thing, but we want it to be ongoing and constant and so on, not just us organize an event for one day and say, oh yes, I'll be voting for Narayan or I'll be voting for Kelly or whoever, right? We are not running, by the way, but I'm using that as an example, right? And so on. So that's us. So I just thought I'd mention that. So that will be coming. You're going to see more of that. And so we are calling it Democracy in Action Debate, because how can we not have the word debate in there? Because at the end of the day, it's a debate. Doesn't matter how we try to change it, or it is a debate. Because
I think sometimes too, it's a matter of opening the floor for discussion, right?
Yeah.
You know, being a past candidate, I need to say that I'm not a big fan, and I think I've touched on this before. I'm not a huge fan of debates, right? I'm a huge fan of discussion.
Correct.
And I think we need to sit down. I think we need to have these discussions. I think we really need to, you know, not only have the discussions between you and I, mm-hmm. between, you know, mm-hmm. your listeners, mm-hmm. But I think that we need to have these discussions around our kitchen tables and around
you
know, our break room tables and, you know, the machine shop floor mm-hmm. and, you know, the grocery store cashiers. I think those conversations.
For sure. And I have to agree with you. And that's one of the reasons we came up with the name, you know, Democracy in Action, where we will have lots of these kinds of conversation. Mm-hmm. But because we are aware that people, you know, are accustomed to debate and using that term for years and so on.
I think we need to change
right?
that.
And yet, no, I agree with you. That's one of the reasons we're calling it Democracy in Action. That's our main focus, really.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
To kind of so people can be engaged, understand what's happening, and so on. And I know people, all candidates, will try to find a way to get their point out there in a debate form. But we'll see how we can manage.
We do.
That.
Yes. We do.
You know, right. Because at the end of the day, they have to campaign and have their point across. Too. They have mm-hmm. an. They have not necessarily an obligation, but they really will have to. They are in it really to win it, so to speak. So whatever works for them, you know, but we, you know, the people who are organizing it will have to somehow control that. So something to keep in mind, and we do plan on taking it live as well, so people get to see. So we are really,
I cannot wait for
yes,
that.
Yes, so we are really working on that. Right. So we're just kind of, like I said to you, we need lots of helping hand to really support it in terms of you know, right now we are kind of looking for venues and appropriate venues, you know, and all of pieces. So we are kind of trying to look at those pieces, but we are working as so something to keep in mind for sure.
Yep.
And obviously you are going to be aware of it and all that and stuff like that, you know, because everybody, we are hoping that everybody can kind of, you know, go there, bring their own supporters,
yeah.
Stuff like that too. So I just thought I'd mention that.
We have this upcoming federal election has a little bit of a different flavor to it. Normally in a campaign, you know, your top priorities are, you know, healthcare, the economy, and jobs, basically, right? Housing. Top of mind needs to be the environment. Top of mind absolutely needs to be, you know, the climate crisis that we're in. And if I can refer to this, the city of Kitchener City Council actually just agreed to. What's the word I'm looking for? To acknowledge the fact that we are in a climate crisis. Mm-hmm. So Kitchener-Waterloo has acknowledged that, which is it's taking such a big leap forward. You know, that moving forward, you know, with targets and things like that, and different things that we can do in our own community.
Oh yes,
you know, for the
climate
crisis.
Oh yes,
yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, there's hundreds of things that we can do. You know, it's just a matter of, you know, finding out what they are. But I'm so pleased that the city has declared a climate crisis here in Kitchener-Waterloo, or in Kitchener, actually. It's Kitchener City Council. I'm absolutely thrilled with this, and you're going to see this subject being talked about more and more federally. Is the environment, what the government's going to do about the environment, and the Conservatives and the Liberals and the PPC party. Don't forget about that, because they are around. We actually have two PPC candidates in Kitchener-Waterloo in the different ridings.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's three. I know that there's two for sure.
They are going to have, my understanding, I'm not cutting you, but you brought up a good point there. So it will be a different kind of election this time.
And that's what I'm saying, yeah. So this election is going to have a little bit of a different flavor to it, because
absolutely.
I think now
people
are very concerned about the environment. They're very concerned about, you know, the environmental catastrophe that is, you know, staring us in the face. And, you know, not only that, but it's not just about, you know, plastic bottles going into the oceans and, you know, tar sands, oil sands and things like that. It's about climate justice. It's about, you know, raising people out of poverty. It's about, you know, until we deal with that at a grassroots, you know, community level, there are different levels to climate change and the climate crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to, you know, dissect that and take a look at that. And, you know, the PCs and the Liberals and the PPC have not come up with anything yet. You know, there's, what, four and a half months till the election. Have not come up with anything solid as far as a climate change initiative.
They have some interesting candidates.
The NDP has, just like that.
Sorry?
I said the NDP has.
Oh, there you go.
Throw that in there.
That's okay. That's okay. You wear the appropriate color today, just as a coincidence?
No, I wear a lot of coral in the summer. Oh. Yeah, a lot of orange.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I don't know if that's something. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Well, let's go with that. Yes. Yeah. Although I have a purple one.
Okay. And your phone. And
my
phone.
Yeah. And my phone is.
Imagine your phone case and your tablet.
Yeah,
so that's okay.
Yeah, I'm like a purple.
You know, was kind of funny. And when I ran last year as an independent, I like to wear blue plain shirt going to work. And so, one day I wore a darker blue. Normally I wear like lighter blue. So one of my coworkers said to me, "Narayan, I really love that color." Right? And I said, "Or blue, but I'm not sure if I really like the color." I was kind of make a political point, right? But she also brought a good point, you know. She said to me, "Not everything has to be political."
and you know what? And you're right. And I'm glad. No, you're absolutely right. And I try. So when we have these conversations, I try to present it in a very in a more of a diverse lens, you know, than just, you know, NDP 100% all the way. It's very clear who my party of choice is, I certainly am not you know, going to shy away from that. But I try to present things to you know, your listeners that they can kind of mull over for themselves, you know, and kind of look at it from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I'm able to do that.
Yes, for sure. We have lots to talk about. And depending where you're watching and listening to us, I wouldn't be able to see everyone's name and so on, because we do have this page being shared at different location and so on. But the people who I can see, I definitely want to acknowledge. I want to acknowledge Mittal, who lives locally here in Kitchener. Thank you for taking the time to see what we do here. And I know you're a big fan of the show, so we thank you for taking the time to tune in. I would like to give a special hello to Fiona as well. Fiona, who performed on our show in the past. Sarah also performed on our show in the past. We have Ramjit Singh. Thanks. We have Krishna. And again, all of you would like to kind of acknowledge that we appreciate the fact that you're listening, watching us and all of that. But like I said to you, I can only see certain names based on the screen I'm looking at right now. But we appreciate all of you, you know, listening to us and share our page. Do share our page. If you share our page with your contact, even after the show here, they still will be able to listen and get some really good insight and you know, and some good information, because that's the whole point of the show. We really want to kind of really keep you informed, you know, as to what's happening locally here, and whether that be social issues. I mean, we talk about environmental stuff. Those are important stuff. I mean, many years ago, I started a small, because for me, it started with us too, you know, what we can do as an individual, what we can do with small groups, and so on. I think, you know, that those kinds of information, it kind of really get people to think, you know, what can they do? Just like when the city, when they actually started this trick recycling piece about a year ago, I think, and so on. At first, I honestly said to myself, like, what are we going to do with all of this garbage for 2 weeks? I used to say to myself, right? And now we don't have garbage, because everything is recycled.
So they've actually forced you to do it.
It's kind of funny. Now, we have done it. I can, and so on.
We do it too.
We've always done it, but now we are more into it. I can tell. Mm-hmm. Like, so even like the milk from the bag, like, we will rinse that out a little bit, stuff like that. And my wife is so keen on that, you know. And sometimes it's like a little sticker on like a banana or an apple. It's tiny, so sometimes I just kind of just put it where, right? My wife said to me, that's not where it goes. Stuff like that, right? But so it goes to show that some people, and even at workplace, I think that should be mandatory. I was thinking about that. A lot of workplace, they don't recycle at all. I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
And that's an issue. I'm not sure why.
I think, yeah, there are recycle programs that happen in the workplace. So I know it with us.
Not all of them
do that. We do have recycle programs.
Mm-hmm.
So we have different bins that things go in and
oh,
things like that.
So
what happens to them after, you know, our floor porters and stuff take them out? I have no idea. But I don't know if listeners know this, but if you have cans and jars and bags and things like that, if they're not rinsed out and cleaned out, they go straight into the trash. They go right into the garbage. So if you've ever watched recycle programs where they actually take all the stuff and they recycle it and they sort it out and they do all of these things, only about 9% of what we put in the recycle bin is actually recycled.
That's
so
sad news.
We need to be better at that. You know, we need to clean things out and do these things. And, you know, I've had people, you know, say some silly things. Well, I pay for the water. Why should I clean it out? Why don't they? You know. Well, you know, it's because it's doing your part, right?
It may
be small, it may be whatever, but you know, we all have to do something. We all have to do this. It has to be done. We can't not do this anymore. Because how dare we as human beings think that, you know, this world is disposable and we can do whatever we want with it? Because that's absolutely not true. We absolutely can't do that.
For sure. No. You agree. And you seem to. Anytime we talk, you always bring up this. This climate change thing, you bring up, you know, all of these things. So it looks like you yourself, you're passionate about it, which is a good thing. So maybe I have to look into that.
I am very passionate about it. And I'm involved with Rise for Climate Change in Kitchener-Waterloo, and I'm also involved with Climate Change Waterloo Region with Waterloo. So I'm in these groups, and I hear the things that are happening. And we actually have two NDP candidates that are one's a climate scientist.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, both of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And so I mean, they're very well versed in what's
mm-hmm.
happening, you know, in the environment. But if you have an opportunity to attend one of the town halls,
mm-hmm.
and actually there was just one this past Monday,
mm-hmm.
If you have an opportunity mm-hmm. to attend one of the town halls, please do it.
Mm-hmm.
I have attended quite a few of them. The last one really shook me. It really
mm-hmm.
did. I heard things that I wasn't prepared to hear, and I think these things need to be said, and I think people need to hear them. I really do. And it took me a couple days to kind of come around to,
mm-hmm.
to you know, what I was being told. And I believe it. I see it. And just the small things. So when you drive out in the country 20 years ago, it's going to be a little gross, but when you drive out in the country 20 years ago and your headlights are on and you're going through a country road, you're going, you know, down a country road, you have thousands of bugs hitting your windshield,
yeah.
right? Now, drive down a country road with your headlights on, obviously, and you do not see the amount of bugs on your windows that we did 20 years ago. And why is that? Right? So we need to be asking these questions. Why is that? Is it because of the pesticides that we're using? Is it because of, you know, what are we doing to our environment, right? And I'm not gonna jump on an environmental soapbox or anything, but these are things that we need to take a look at. And I understand that there are people out there that don't believe that climate change is a thing. And that's fine. There are people out there that believe the world is flat, too. Whatever. You know.
we're all allowed to have
our own opinions,
mm-hmm.
right? But when the proof is looking you square in the face, and you can't deny, you cannot deny that these things are happening, you know, it's time to wake up. It's time to realize that we have done this, you know, in the last 100 years. Actually 200 years in the age of industrialism,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the world, we have done this in 200 years. We basically destroyed what we have, and we need to stop doing this.
You know, you brought up a good point. My wife was shared to me one time that her coworker said to her that why is it that people are so picky to pull out all the dandelion and all of this in their you know, in their yards and all of that. And just have just the plain grass, and they're using, you know, God knows what to kind of kill everything else, right? That there, those things are there for a reason, you know, because other stuff have to live in it and so on. Eh? And so, in a sense, she probably has a point, you know.
It's a circle of life,
right? And so that's one of the reasons now. Like my yard, when I cut that grass along with my dandelion and so on, right? You wouldn't know the difference because everything is all blended nicely there.
Yeah.
Kind of like it's kind of all
it's
nice
all
and green, right? It's all
yeah.
green, exactly, right? And I always think, and so when it doesn't look as great as the neighbor, because neighbor's like perfect with only grass and green grass, and they water it every afternoon when they shouldn't water it and all of that, right? I'm thinking of that lady, though. You know, that what she brought up a good point, right? That
because we have to, like, if the city gave us notice on the city, because we have an obligation to, we can't, let's say the city sent out an email and say, you know what, we should only water plant on Wednesdays, or grass on Wednesdays, you know, from 6 to 8 and so on. I think we have to be mindful and be respectful of those pieces too, you know, and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Because when I look at somebody, when I look at other people's grass, I mean, who wouldn't want to have green and perfect grass?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that, but when you're talking about environmental things and so on.
I want to know who has time to have green grass.
I know.
I don't have time. I'm glad that my neighbor's retired and kind of looks after the lawn, but I'm telling you, if I had to do it, I don't know what my lawn would look like, really. And my husband does all that. We're never home to have a...
I do the basic... I always know that, you know, it all depends where people spend their time. So if some people are in it, you know, I've seen people who they're always outside, and it's not a bad thing, so don't get me wrong here. You know, people are outside, that's how they spend their time. So if that's where you dedicate your time, then it means that you're gonna have the result that you're hoping for, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I like something else and that's where I'm spending my time, I'm gonna reap those types of benefits,
yeah.
Right? But some people find the time to do it.
But it's the small things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I could throw a bunch of stats at people.
Mm-hmm.
There's one thing that I learned that really actually struck home with me is that in Portugal and in California, now it's been outlawed. It is now against the law to do this in Portugal, where the olives come from. So everybody loves olives, green, black, whatever olives,
mm-hmm.
Come out of olives, whatever. The olive trees that grow, the growers, for some reason, figure that the olives are better picked at night than they are in the daytime. There's something to do with the chemistry in the olive that makes them better. I don't know what it is. I'm not a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. But so the harvesters take these big vacuum cleaners. They're like big vacuum suction cups, and they go right over the olive trees, and they suck all of the olives out of the tree. Fine to do that, but here's the problem. Songbirds live in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And if the growers were to do this harvesting in the daytime, the songbirds would not be in the trees because they would see them coming, right? And they would be able to fly away. That's not the case when they're doing it at night. So they've made this against the law to do this in Portugal, but they have not done this yet in California. So it makes me really think now when I go, because I love olives. Ooh, I love olives.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me really think now when I'm going to make something that has olives in the recipe, do I really want them? I'm making a concerted effort lately to not have them, you know. And here in our region, it's as simple as a K-cup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves their Keurig. Everybody loves their K-cup, right? Their coffees.
Mm-hmm.
If you take your K-cup and you make your coffee, take the top out of it, take the filter and everything out of it, and that little pod is actually recyclable. Put it in your recycle, and if the little mesh thing is recyclable, recycle that as well. But I know that most people take them and throw them in the garbage. They don't decompose. They're not compostable.
Mm-hmm.
So we should be recycling stuff like that. But it's those little things. And you know, I'm just talking about the region. But when you're talking about, federally, the federal politics and the federal election that's coming, climate change needs to be at the forefront, as well as universal pharmacare, as well as housing, as well as, education and the economy and things like that. But, you won't have an economy if you don't have climate. That's the bottom line, right?
For sure.
Nothing else will matter if you don't have air that you can breathe, and that's a problem.
When my 9-year-old can recognize the pollution and all of that, right, in the air, and like she can and the language, I think they're learning all of this in school. They're having these kinds of conversation, right?
Yes.
And so like the conversation she's having, I'm talking about the pollution in the air and all of that, right? Because I'm thinking, because when I was 9, I was thinking about all of that, right? But this is amazing. And so when a child, 9-year-old, can recognize this, the air, it's not good for us to breathe when this is, this and that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, that alone speaks volume,
Sometimes we need to listen to our kids.
Oh, yes, for sure.
I mean, traditionally we think that, kids need to listen to us. And sometimes we need to listen to our children. I know this from experience. I have a 13-year-old political activist who has, recently joined me in the crusade in the region. And I am learning a ton from her. She's 13 years old. She's great. But this is what I'm saying. We need to engage our youth not only in the issues that are affecting us here in the region and the community, but we need to engage our youth in things that are happening around the world. And they get it. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that the kids don't get it, because they are in tune to everything.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and unfortunately or fortunately, it's this, right?
Yeah.
They can get so much information in 0.3 milliseconds. Ask a child anything and they'll have it up on their computer, their phone, whatever, before you even have it, the rest of the sentence out of your mouth.
It's amazing.
Information.
Oh, for sure. And it's amazing how they can access all of this so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, up to recently, I was talking
way quicker
to
than me.
up to recently, I was saying to my wife, like, I don't get it that my daughter, like, when she does her stuff, her game and all that, like, doesn't need my assistance at all. Like, they'll, you know, choose her password and her username and kind of download everything, and get it right and all of that. Like nothing, eh?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Yeah, 4-year-old niece.
I know.
Knows how to work an iPad, and I stand there looking at it. I have no idea what to do with it. And she's like, Auntie, give me that.
She was, I know, I
put that down before you hurt
for
yourself.
Sure. And obviously many people can relate to us based on what you've just said. So we only have 6 minutes left, and so what I would like to ask you, I know time goes fast when you're here, because you have lots to share, you're passionate about what you do, and there's a reason why we keep bringing you back, for those of you who probably join us halfway through, do know that Kelly will join us on the last Wednesday of every month, so you'll see her again then, and it goes by really, really fast, kind of thing. But there are a couple things, or at least I want to have an update from you regarding your cookbook. Obviously you work at Loblaws. So I'm not sure if you're still there, but you've been there for a long time.
I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be there for a little bit.
Good.
My status is changing.
Good.
I'm actually jumping down from full-time. I'm going part-time. I'll have a little bit more time to spend on some of the things that we talked about here today.
For sure.
And I'm very much looking forward to that. Give me a little bit more time to spend with family and friends. So.
For sure, for sure. Speaking of book, I'm also working together, it's not a cookbook. I love cooking, though, too, in a different way. I like to be part of that, to kind of, for me, it's part of, it really bond myself and my family together. We do things together in the kitchen, so I kind of do that. In fact, before I came here, I cooked, because my wife is kind of pregnant, too. We didn't want
She's
anybody to know.
Pregnant.
I know, I know. We didn't want anybody to know, I guess. Not more of a surprise. Not anymore, my followers and so on. But anyways, so I did some of that so that when she goes home, she doesn't have to worry about the cooking and stuff of that kind. And I kind of enjoy it. And I remember she said to me last week, at least you know how to cook, you know? So I said, okay. At least you recognize I can cook. Yeah, that's good.
I taught my boys to cook.
Good
my
for you.
My youngest one cooks more than my oldest one does.
Oh, wow.
But my youngest one, I love watching him in the kitchen. And I love cooking with him in the kitchen. So this past, was it Thanksgiving, I believe it was? Thanksgiving 2018, we had, the entire family was over. When I say the entire family, there's 27 people.
Oh, wow.
Anywhere between 20 and 27.
Oh, that's a big family.
And my son and I are both at I have a regular stove oven. It's the ceramic top. And then I have two ovens. So one's like a built-in. We use both of them all the time.
Mm.
But my son and I were both cooking dinner together. And it was quite something to be able to do that. But he comes up with some concoctions. I need to tell you, like he's really developing his palate, which is awesome. Different flavors. He's understanding what flavors go with what. And he's 21. So he has worked at a restaurant before, where they taught him some of the basics and things like that for food prep and stuff. But he comes up with some really awesome stuff.
You have to have the passion for it. I have a friend, he always enjoyed cooking, and so when his son used to come to my house, I was younger then, he always put this TV on that cooking channel,
yeah.
Right? And the kids, kind of, they're always that way. And today I have to say that one of the of his kid is a professional chef, and I saw her on one or two of those, you know, they have those cooking competition type of thing.
MasterChef.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I saw her on there. I said, that's pretty cool. And because the father is so much into cooking, and that's what the kids see, and they're into cooking, and anything he comes, I remember he's going to sit for, usually I will watch CNN, and he's going to sit to a cooking show.
Well, my youngest one, the one that I was just talking about, when he was 4 years old, my mother-in-law used to watch him while we were working, and she'd be outside in the backyard hanging up laundry or whatever, and my son Jordan would come outside and he'd go, Grandma, you need to come in now, Rachel Ray is on.
Ooh.
Yeah, Rachel Ray, 4 years old. So my mother-in-law would have to come in the house from doing whatever she was doing and sit with Jordan and watch Rachel Ray, and he was intense. Like, it was, you know, this is what he was watching and this is what he was doing, and you know, every time I cooked her, I'm not a big baker, I'm a cooker, right? So anytime I would cook something, Jordan would be, you know, not far away, you know, with his nose in the pot or stirring something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was pretty awesome. So the cookbook that I'm doing is actually, it's family recipes, and I have, the original copy is going to go to both of my kids. And then there'll be some recipes in there that I don't put actually in the book. But I am working on, a friend of mine knows how to do nutritional analysis and things like that. So when I get everything all figured out and how we're going to, you know, how the book is going to look and things like that, we'll do some nutritional analysis and kind of have those things all in there as well. But yeah, it's pretty awesome. I make something up and I write it down right away. And
good. Oh no, that's great. It's nice to kind of have a hobby away from what we do as our day job, kind of thing.
Yeah. And I'm hoping when I go part time, I'll have a little bit more time to work on it. It has been a work in progress for the last 6 years. So.
Oh yes, it's gonna take some time, because even the
books don't get written in 24 hours.
Oh no. Oh, because I thought I was ready to publish my book because I have the materials. Right?
Yeah.
I talked to my publisher and so on. It will take some more time, because we really have to go back and forth, make sure everything is good and designing and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so what I'll do, I had published a poetry book many years ago, but this one is a real book. So this is not, this is, this would